And welcome to Garden Talk. I'm Laurie Skelton, today sitting in for Larry Mueller, and I'm joined by Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus, the Assistant Scientist in the Environmental Resources Center and the Department of Biological Systems Engineering, and Dr. Sonja Neuenhaus, President of the Madison Environmental Group and Community CAR. We are here today to talk about gifts for gardeners and green gifts in general. And let me start off by asking, is this a good year for gardeners to be thinking about gifting? I guess it seems a little bit counterintuitive when everything has just finally frozen. Suddenly you're thinking about what to do next year. Isn't next year a little far away?
Well, Laurie, it's always a great time to garden. I still have bulbs to plant. I may need an ice pick. I still have some shrubs I need to fence off from rabbits because my garden is just overrun with rabbits, and the dachshund is not doing his job as promised. He's helping with the rabbits.
Well, he's not a rabbit hound. He's a badger hound.
But now would be an absolutely wonderful time to think about what you're going to plant next year, and we have tons of ideas that we'll talk about to just get going and to start the joy of gardening if you've never done it before, and to just have some comfort in it.
If you've never gardened before, I take it gardeners all around the state are looking to gift you with things. Is this a good time for a novice to get started?
This is a perfect time, especially in the economic times that we're in. We've seen a resurgence of actually sort of the backyard old-fashioned victory gardens, if you will. We might need a new name for them, community gardens or sustainability gardens. But one book that I might recommend is called Square Foot Gardening. And it's by Mel Bartholomew. And it's a wonderful book because it makes it very simple. And it talks about how you don't need that much space. So, you know, square foot. So you could have just a 4x4 or a 4x8 spot in your backyard and have a lot of production with a very efficient use of space.
And is that a common mistake for a beginner gardener?
No.
They till up the entire backyard and then...
It's overwhelming, Lori. But a really good idea is to... come up with just a small space for vegetable gardening or fruit. It has to have full sun. So that's the very first question. Where in my yard do I have full sun? And let's say you only have the size of a dining room table out there, say 6 feet by 4 feet or something like that. You could make a wonderful raised bed area with the best soil in there from the compost that you've been making all year out of your kitchen, and plant some salad greens, a couple tomatoes, a couple peppers, have a salsa garden or a pizza-type garden, and just get started planting what you like to eat and enjoy it. And I guarantee if you start this year, we will be talking next year about how you want to plant this and this and that more.
Well, if you are a novice gardener, maybe you even need to back up. Maybe this is the year that somebody gives you the means to start composting. You know, what if you haven't even done that yet? Is composting a good gift?
Oh, well, I have my favorite gift, actually, that I mention every year, so I'll do it again this year, is a stainless steel composting bucket for your kitchen. The reason why I like this one so much is it's very light, it's very easy to clean, and the food scraps just sort of slide away when you dump them in your compost pile because it's made out of stainless steel. So it just works perfectly. And Lee Valley is one of the catalogs that sells this, and it's always a good starting present, and it looks nice on your counter.
People think composting can't be done in the winter. That's a deterrent for some people. That's a myth. You can toss those scraps out there any time of the year.
And you're not going to have critters coming and
digging through? No. The key is no animal fat in your compost. No animal byproducts or animal fat. So anything vegetable goes in there. Sonja,
right.
I think you toss a pair of jeans in your
compost. I even put, my old cotton rags or my jeans. I take out the zipper, of course, but I compost just about everything. You know, even the tea bags. Of course, I take out the little staple so as not to hurt the worms in the compost pile. But,
okay.
But it's very, very easy.
So what else do you say to a brand new or thinking about a garden for next year? How do you get somebody started at this time of the year?
I would go and collect a 5-gallon bucket, and I say collect because these are easily found curbside or from restaurants, like a where food supplies come in.
And one of those, one of those 5-gallon white buckets,
yes,
usually.
Yes, 5-gallon white bucket. And as a gift for a new gardener, I would put in there a trowel. I like a really narrow trowel because I use it just for all kinds of things in the garden. It's a good, simple, basic tool.
And I would buy one that's not too cheap, because once I bought one that was so cheap, and I was like, oh, great, I got this little trowel, but then it actually bent on me. Mm-hmm, so, yeah. You know, try to start the person off with some really good quality tools.
Okay.
Then I'd stick maybe a pair of nice gloves in there if they're a glove person. There's some really nice and inexpensive thin cotton gloves that have like a rubberized coating on them. Almost feels like a second skin.
And they're only like $7, right?
Yeah. Cheap and easy. And then I would put in there that book, The Square Foot Gardening, or another book that you as a gardener like. Or I would send them to the UW Extension website, because there's lots and lots of local how-to handouts and publications that you can see on the web, and you can order at minimal cost, like from your county agent or from that website.
And maybe you could throw in a seed catalog or two in there.
Yep, Astrid,
which seed
idea.
Catalogs do you like?
I really like Johnny's Select Seeds, Johnny's for vegetable seeds.
Although for me, that's where I get into trouble. You hand me one seed catalog and I want to plant everything in it.
And there's also the Seed Savers catalog that has some of the heirloom varieties, and it'd be very good to support that organization.
And on completely on the opposite end, if you're that organized with your own gardening, maybe one of the things that you give as a gift this year are some of the seeds that you've saved.
Oh, that would be
that
wonderful.
That would be fantastic.
That would be wonderful.
Is that difficult for someone who's been working on their own garden? How easy is it for someone to just say, here are my seeds?
Well, Laura, it depends what you grow. If you grow heirloom-type plants that are not hybridized so that the pollinator does not affect the germplasm of the seed, so open pollinated, then you would be fine saving those seeds. And you'll know as a gardener, because when the plant drops its seed and then you see what comes up, if you are kind of lackadaisical as I can be, you'll see what comes up. And if it's not true to the seed, then you can't be saving that. But there's, I would look at the Seed Savers Exchange to see what plants are the type that can be saved, the seed saved from.
All right. So, again,
stick seeds in there.
And you might want to toss an old sheet in the bucket. Old sheets are very good for weeding. So what I do is when I weed my garden, I just put the sheet behind me and I toss the weeds over my shoulder, and then it's very easy to drag the sheet to the compost pile. And I have two compost piles. One is for weeds and one is for food.
And there's an interesting way to recycle something in your
household. And the sheet is lighter than the tarp. I like that.
Yep.
I use the sheet, too.
We have an email listener who says, my wife is an avid gardener. We have a small greenhouse. He's wondering about using... we're missing our email. We'll get back to that in a moment. If you have an email question, it's talk@wpr.org. Of course, you can always call in with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Okay, for this greenhouse, LED grow lights. Is that something that you'd want to include for a gardener
this
year?
I think that's a great idea.
A plant needs two different wavelengths of light. It needs red, blue, and far red. So it needs a mix of the blue wavelengths, which is what you'd get from the LED, and also some incandescent lights in there, which would be the old-fashioned light bulb that gives more of a red cast to it. So I would be careful when I'm shopping for grow lights that the light contains both wavelengths that the plants need. Otherwise, you'll get leggy plants.
And what do you look for then on a label to make certain you've got that? Is just red and blue, or is there another word for it?
If it says that it's a grow light, that it's meant for plant production, then it should have those wavelengths. If you don't buy a grow light, you can do the same thing yourself by just combining a fluorescent bulb in your system and an incandescent bulb, so you get the two types. You can't just go fluorescent. It won't work.
All right. And again, for your email questions and comments, our address is talk@wpr.org. And the phone number to call, 1-800-642-1234.
Laura, you were talking about beginning gardening, like vegetable gardening. One thing to keep in mind is be sure you grow what you like to eat or what you like to see growing. Because if you don't like it, then it won't be fun. And there's just decide what you like and then grow that. It'll be so fun.
Should you also perhaps find out what your neighbors are planning on growing so you aren't giving everybody zucchini on the block?
That's a good idea, Laura. Yeah. And maybe throw in a tomato cage or two, because sometimes you can forget to put those on early on and the tomato plants just flop over.
I get the feeling we're going to be saying this a lot through the next hour. It sounds like a lot of what we're talking about in terms of a garden gift does involve a little bit of time, not only for the recipient, but for the giver as well. I mean, whether it's the time for a seasoned gardener to sit down with a novice, mm-hmm. or if you're like on my block where everybody's got a garden, you want to find out what everybody else is doing. So there needs to be a little bit of communication going even before the gift is given.
Oh, definitely.
Great way to meet your neighbors.
Okay. So the gift of time, as I say, I think we'll be talking about that a lot as we talk about gifts for the garden and other green gift ideas. We'll be back in just a moment with Drs. Astrid Neuenhaus and Dr. Sonja Neuenhaus. This is all part of Garden Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Laurie Skelton, today sitting in for Larry Mueller. And Jackie, way up north, Jackie has an addition to our list. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. I was listening, and I thought, as I look out in my yard, I thought there are so many places that once you see in the winter, you can really see what where a good garden would be for small, square foot gardening.
That's
but my
good point.
Comment was, is that a person should always think of, well, for the gardener, is the older gardener, is having something like a little cart that you can roll around, you can kneel on, and you can lift yourself up, because that's the one, probably the hardest thing is getting down, but it's really a bugger getting back up again.
I notice on your list you have something called a garden scoot. Is that what she's talking about?
Yes. Jackie, is there one that you like in particular? Because there's a lot of those on the market. Like there's one that looks like a little tractor seat on four wheels.
Right. I think it was Lee Valley you were talking about. I think that's where it was.
Yes.
And I can't remember the name of what I've got, but it really does work nice because it's a little bit harder to get up on bumpy ground,
yeah.
but this has got big fat wheels.
Right.
And then it kind of locks when I kneel down.
There's also one that's it's called a rocker seat. It looks like a stool that has kind of a big plastic mushroom at the bottom of it. And as you sit on it, you can tilt back and forth on the round head of the base.
And it's that probably would work better, too.
And it's attached to you, sort of like a belt. So,
or like an old milking stool.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
We've talked about milking stools in the past.
And you can get that at Gardener's Edge. Gardener's Edge.
Gardener's Edge is another place to get it. Gardener's Supply. And there's also a kneeler type thing. So now I'm not talking about a cart, but just a, they're called kneelers. They're, it's like a rectangular padded seat that's on handles, and you can either sit on the thing, kneel on the thing.
You can attach your tools on the side of
yep.
it.
Mm-hmm. Some people really like those, too. Whatever makes it easier.
And here again, for an older gardener, giving them the gift of time, if you've got the rototiller and they're really not up to using it, you know, maybe you just send a card saying, by the way, I'll come over and dig you up this spring.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Any other ideas, Jackie?
No, but I was thinking of the rototiller. That really is important because that is knocking you all over the place. And having somebody do that for you really is nice.
Mm-hmm. But I don't want to scare away the new gardener with the idea that you'll have to be using a big, heavy beast rototiller.
Oh, it doesn't have to be big and heavy, but for someone who's not mechanically inclined, at least the first time out, it always helps to have somebody else with your hands on the tiller.
But if you make a raised bed garden, Lori, like if you just take some planking material, wood, and...
Untreated, correct?
Untreated wood, yes. And then make a box out of it and fill that with compost, then you will never need a rototiller again because that soil will never be compacted by you walking on it, and so it'll remain light and fluffy. That's one of the benefits of raised bed gardening, that you don't need that heavy beast.
So whether or not you're a newer gardener or if you're an older gardener who needs to perhaps change how you're doing your gardening, mm-hmm. again, your book on raised bed gardening would be a great idea. By the way, if you can't write all of these suggestions down, I will see that there are notes from today that are put up on our website at WPR.org under Larry Mueller's program. And
you can also buy raised bed corner brackets. So they're just, about $12. You could throw that in the bucket of gifts that we were talking about earlier. But both Gardener's Supply and Lee Valley sells those brackets to make it easy to put the raised bed together. But it also doesn't need to be that complicated. You could have a small garden that's 4x6 that you can hand dig. That's how I did my first garden, and it wasn't that hard.
Well, occasionally. Depends on what your soil is. Hank in Gotham, thanks for calling Gardening Talk this morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What would you like to know?
I would like to pose a question for Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus.
Uh-oh, it's my dad.
Oh, she talked about square gardening, but I don't like to be known as a square gardener. I more like to be known as an all-around gardener. And I was wondering whether she has a few hints to be more convivial.
Well, I, too, don't like to be known as a square gardener, and I have thought of adopting the roundetarian diet, where I only eat round things. For example, oranges,
So you should
tomatoes.
Just plant tomatoes and potatoes and peppers.
So if you don't want to be thought of as square, Hank, you could just plant round things and become a roundetarian.
Thank you. I will do that. That's a very nice idea. Thank you.
A roundetarian. That may be something to get somebody started. Just work on round things this year.
Well, there's some children that only eat white food, I hear. So you could have a white garden. You could have a red garden. You could have lots of fun. And
that's a great way to get kids involved. If you're able to designate, again, even if it's only just a couple of feet, and you say, all right, this is yours. You get to do one special thing. You get to choose.
Yep.
Isabel has a garden, doesn't she?
Yep, she's into herbs. So she's growing an herb garden.
And she's how old?
She's 12.
Okay. 1-800-642-1234 for you to call in with your questions and comments. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. Bob in Marshfield, what's your idea for a beginning gardener?
Hi, the thing that I'd like to give a beginning gardener is a proper hoe. A lot of the hoes that you can buy in the store are so big that you can't use them. And the characteristics of a good hoe, the one that I really love, is a full-size hoe with a 3 inch by 3 inch triangle head. And the other trick has to be that the mount for the head has to be a gooseneck such that the tip is almost in line with the line of the handle. I picked up a small one that I really like at the garden show, but it was straight with a right angle on it. It was worthless.
Okay.
I took it downstairs and bent it with a gooseneck, and the head is in line with the handle. It's a wonderful tool.
I know what you mean, Bob. A good hoe is just vital to gardening. And the attachment of the handle to the hoe also needs to be really strong because as you're using that, it loosens up and you'll need a way to tighten it. There's so many different hoes. I would recommend that people just try different ones and see what you like.
And because start small.
for example,
there's a new sort of hybrid tool that I just bought at the Kickapoo Country Fair that's actually made here in Wisconsin. It's made locally in Cambridge, and it's called the Cobra Head Weeder, and it's fabulous. It has sort of it looks like a cobra head, looks like the snake.
Okay. And it's like a one-time cultivator put on a handle.
It's $25.
Sounds like what, Bob?
It sounds like the one I have.
Yeah, you can find it at cobrahead.com and support a local manufacturer here.
But make sure the head is in line with the handle.
Yes.
Or it's worthless. It'll twist on you.
I also recommend a long handle so you're not stooping when you use your hoe. You can look for hoes like there's a diamond hoe. Mm-hmm. There's also Elliot Coleman has a great hoe. And if the handle is very long, then you won't be hurting your back stooping while you're hoeing.
And is that something that some people tend to think, well, all right, so what if we've got two gardeners in the house and one is 6'4" and one is 5'4"? We only need one set of tools. They can work for both of us. That's not always the case, is it?
No. People like their own tools to fit their own body.
Mm-hmm. Something to keep in mind as you are planning garden gifts. We turn next to Paul in New Berlin, who has, it's a great idea for a garden. What would you plant in a rainbow garden, Paul?
Oh, that's interesting. That was my question. My interest is I was given a staff from Native American Medicine Man was given to the Vision Council of the Rainbow Nation that the American Indian Movement recognizes the fulfillment of. Out of many people would come one people, and they've sort of leaned the way. And this leading the way, I understand, is on Earth is partially is how do we live in the Earth, and how are we sustained? And obviously, food is going to be the basic part of that issue. So the question was, is what would you put as far as the composting? I favor something called divine composting. You know, we try to have the most environmentally friendly, eco-friendly way of taking the waste and turning it around and composing something that's good. So in a garden which we're growing food, what would you plant in a rainbow garden that would, in order that the various vibrations of the colors would be, you know, the most complete nutrient, positive, you know, garden
we have? Paul, we're talking about rainbow in a lot of different connotations here. One is the spiritual aspect of the rainbow. The other is the vitamin content. People are told to eat a rainbow because vitamins in plants show up as different colors. For example, lycopene in not just vitamins, but nutrients. Mm-hmm. Lycopenes in tomatoes are what make them red. So with the various rainbows in mind, I would plant tomatoes. I would plant peppers.
Eggplants.
Eggplant, although now we're all in the same family, so we want to diversify.
Right.
I'd plant some salad greens. I would plant corn or potatoes. And the reason for the corn is coming back to the Native American the three sisters, which is corn, beans, and squash. Sonia, ideas or other listeners?
And also
ideas?
Some fruits provide very different nutrients that you should have. So consider the raspberries and the currants.
Oh, I love currants.
Currant bushes are so easy.
Yeah,
to,
and they come in all different colors, yellow, red, black, pink, champagne.
Okay. You've got practically a rainbow just in your currants. That's great. We've had a couple of listeners email. If you wouldn't mind talking again about that steel compost bucket, what's a good size for a family of four, and where can you find them?
Well, again, the Lee Valley catalog has two sizes. I would get the larger one for about $19, and you can just go find that at leevalley.com.
Okay.
It's about the size of
A stew pot. No, it's bigger than it's like sort of a stew pot, but it's narrower at the bottom.
Well, we, in our house, we have a tiny, tiny little compost, bucket on the counter because we want to force ourselves to empty it more often so we don't get flies.
I'm a little lazier.
And
in the middle of winter, you know, it takes me a little bit to go out to the compost pile.
Okay. This summer, I tried a really funny thing, which I think worked, but the rest of the family is still debating the issue. It's what I think of as compost on a stick. It's where... It's where I took a flat-sided pail, like a feed pail, like a horse feeding pail.
Okay.
Flat on one side. I hung it on a bird feeder pole, so a great big shepherd's hook, right outside the kitchen window.
Okay.
And now instead, well, in the summer when fruit flies were rampant, instead of tossing our compost into the pail on the counter, we would just willy-nilly toss it out the window, and it would hopefully land in the... bucket on a stick, and then I would empty that bucket once a week.
And that's how you get a basketball player interested in gardening. Great idea.
If aesthetics are of concern to you, you can do what Cecil and I did sort of by accident, but I love the color green, so I bought a green enamel soup pot from Orange Tree Imports a while ago, and it had a glass cover. But unfortunately, at one point, the enamel was ruined, so I couldn't use it for cooking anymore on the inside. But it became a fabulous-looking compost container on my kitchen.
There you
and
go.
The glass pot is nice because then when visitors are there, they know that it's the compost pile because you see that it's the scrap food.
Another way to recycle. Your calls and comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. As we are talking on Garden Talk about garden gifts and green gift ideas, we have an emailer. Her friend is a gardener. She wants to put together an indoor herb garden for the friend. How should she get started with indoor herbs?
I judge at the Dane County Fair, and one of the projects that 4-H kids do is a window box herb garden. And it's a really nice, easy project. I would get a plastic container, plastic just because it's light. For example, either a round planting container or the rectangular one that fits a window box. And then first I would make sure that that friend has enough light in their house. You need good, solid sunlight to raise herbs indoors or any plant indoors.
Mm-hmm.
So with the sunlight thing figured out, I would get this container. I would again think, what does my friend like to cook? Because that determines what you'll be planting in there. And what I've seen come through the 4-H projects are basil, parsley, rosemary, and sometimes lavender, depending on what that particular person likes to cook with. And you can stuff, I've seen 3 or 4 different types of plants. So the basil, parsley, rosemary, dill, all in one little rectangular window box. And it works really well.
This year, I actually brought in some parsley from my garden and tried it for the first time. So it's inside. And I heard that some plants that like cooler temperatures, because I keep my house quite cool to save energy, do better in a colder home. So parsley, and you might even want to try lettuce, which isn't an herb, of course, but
I've
heard that does well if your house is cooler.
Okay.
And use really light soil, not heavy soil, because you'll be lifting this thing. And be sure you have it on a tray so that you don't make stains on the furniture when you water it.
All right. There's how you get an indoor herb garden going. For a veteran gardener or for a brand new gardener. Paul in Milwaukee, Abe in Milwaukee, you're talking about the Three Sisters right now. Abe?
Yeah, hi. Let me preface this by saying that I grew up in New York City, where if you see grass growing up between the cracks of the concrete, you say, oh, what a garden. So when I went to college, I had never had a garden. When I went to college, I grew up...
Abe? I think we're losing you, Abe. If you might try calling us back again, we'll see if we can get you back online. 1-800-642-1234 or... email us at talk@wpr.org. We've been talking a lot about things in the dirt. Perhaps we should talk about gifts for things in the air. I received my first bird feeder as a gift a couple of years ago, I added two other feeders this year, so that's a gift that keeps on giving, at least to the birds. What do you recommend for bird lovers as a green gift?
Lori, I'm trying to learn bird songs. I mean, I can name hundreds, probably thousands of plants and identify them, but I just cannot figure out which bird is calling and who that bird is. And okay. So I found this thing called an identifier.
Identifier.
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like a large calculator. And I'm holding it now, and it has buttons and it has pictures of birds. I'm going to push the button next to American goldfinch.
Hold it right up to the microphone.
And you'll see what it sounds like. So I just have all these buttons I can push away. Here comes Northern Cardinal. Isn't that hysterical?
Actually, no. That's quite helpful. So this is an identifier. Where did you find your identifier?
I found this at Gardener's Supply.
Okay.
And I've also seen it through like Audubon. And if you're more sophisticated than I am, you can find similar things to download for your iPod. You can find them on the web.
You can download bird calls
yes.
for your iPod.
That's fantastic.
So you could be running along and learning.
I'm still
your
getting over
sounds.
The fact you can download symphonies to your iPod. That's incredible. All right, we turn back to the phones. We'll get back to our birds in a moment. But Leanne from Heartland, are you there? Hi there.
Hi. I don't have anything for up in the air, but I have one of those Cobra head tools. I think I bought it at the Garden Expo in Madison, but I've had it for years and years, and we've got a flagstone walkway, and it's really good to keep the weeds and plants out of the cracks.
Ah.
But I just inherited a small, shallower wheelbarrow this summer, and it was really helpful when I was moving around compost or mulch because it wasn't so heavy. Sometimes I lose those big ones when I'm trying to go up the hill. So I think a small wheelbarrow for a small woman would
yeah,
be a
there's
good
no,
idea.
There's no need to deal with heavy items. Speaking of women farmers, I would like to plug a conference that's coming up. This could be a gift for somebody.
Okay.
2 weeks from now, December 5th and 6th, it's a Friday and Saturday, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Farm Center is hosting a conference for women farmers. And so it'll be 2 days of networking and listening to talks about, well, I'll be talking about tools, and it's in the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. You would find out more and register at the Wisconsin Farm Center website through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Wisconsin.cap.
All right. A 2-day conference for women farmers.
Women farmers.
Coming up in just 2 weeks. Your questions and comments we'll be taking in just a moment at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Green gift ideas, garden gift ideas, today on Garden Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today on Garden Talk, it's green gift ideas. We're talking with Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus, the Assistant Scientist in the Environmental Resources Center and the Department of Biological Systems Engineering, and Dr. Sonja Neuenhaus, President of Madison Environmental Group and Community CAR. And as we're talking green gifts, we've mentioned recycling a few times already, but let's think about gifts that are green, gifts that maybe don't go into your own garden but help the bigger garden, the
sure.
big planet.
Well, Community CAR has a special offering now. So let's just say you've always wanted a red mini
Cooper convertible, but it's not exactly the
economic. Did you talk to my mother before you got here?
It's not the time when we should be buying luxury items like mini convertibles. But for only $25, you can join Community Car, and it's half off right now up until the end of the year. It's normally a $50 membership. But what we're doing this time is we have a Make Change campaign, and $25 will be donated to the MG&E's Energy Fund to help the families in need pay for their utility bills with every new member between now and January.
And then, for those who don't know, what is Community Car?
Oh, Community Car is a car sharing organization. So it's your occasional car for members only, and you rent them by the hour. So we have over 1,000 members in the Madison area that participate in Community Car, and we have 17 cars, including a minivan, a pickup truck. Most of our cars are hybrids, but we have Community Car members from all over the state, not just in Madison, because when people come to Madison, let's say they're carpooling or coming with a family and they want to split up and do different errands or have some fun in Madison, then they can hop in a Community Car.
And has there been any interest in starting Community Car programs in other cities around the state?
Yes, we're hoping actually to expand to La Crosse, and we'll see if that happens, and we have some good partnership opportunities there.
Great gift for the community if that can get started. What are some of your other green ideas?
One thing I really like, I like wind-up things. I'm holding my wind-up radio, Lori.
Things that you generate your own energy to run.
Yes. Sonia, didn't you read a book lately?
Yes, there's a new book out. New Society Publishers has it, or Home Green Home in Viroqua also has it. And it is called The Human-Powered Home. It's by Tamara Dean. And what she does is she just explains all of these different ways you can use basically a bicycle to power things. So your own energy, pedaling a bicycle. She has a grain mill, a blender, and a coffee that she powers by her own strong legs on a bicycle.
You can power a blender with a bicycle.
Yes.
How fast do you have to pedal?
I've seen hand crank blenders, like for campers. Like REI sells a hand crank blender. Now, why you would need a blender camping, I don't understand. But
some people just can't live without their margaritas.
And there's hand crank flashlights. Those are great gifts. They because you are its own battery, it never loses power. You just crank it up.
And your hand crank radio that you have there are. I know there are several models on the market. This particular one will last how long on a charge? How long do you have to crank it, and how long will it play?
I crank for 4 minutes. Let's see. I crank it for 4 minutes, and it's 1 to 4. Crank it for 1 minute, get 4 minutes of listening.
Okay.
Anyway, every Saturday when I'm out in my garden weeding or whatever, I'm every now and then doing this. I just love that cranking noise.
Okay.
And so that powers the radio.
Okay. And if there are any critters that don't like that noise, so much the better. Keeping the critters
out of
the garden. Okay. We're going to get back just quickly to our caller about the three sisters. What kind of beans are you talking about, the email listener wants to know, for our three sisters? Beans, corn, and squash.
Yes.
You're talking any beans, right?
But typically it's pole beans, pole, P-O-L-E, because they crawl up the corn stalks. It's kind of its own system. Beans, corn, and squash.
Okay. One other email. Now, this is ambitious. Says she's interested in starting a rooftop garden.
Oh, fabulous.
What's the first step, aside from a really strong ladder?
Well, the first step is to have an engineer come to your home to make sure you can support the weight. You usually need between 60 to 150 pounds per square foot on your roof to support a green roof. So it's critical to make sure that you have a sturdy enough roof to support it. And then there's a organization in Canada. Is it called Well, if you were just to Google Green Roof Association Canada, you would find it. But they have oodles of resources. And I would also encourage people that are looking at green roofs to not feel so caught up in all of these products that are pre-made or plastic grids to put on your roof, but rather to look at how can you sort of make it on your own and to not be so frightened by the complications of it all. You know, you need a drainage system. You need light soil. You want to most likely plant sedums.
Those tiny little succulents, sedums. I would visit other green roofs. They're popping up all over the place. It's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But here's one that you don't just do on your own. You do need some help to get this started.
Well, you just need help to make sure that your roof can support it. But after that, I would think you could read the literature and then do the rest on your own.
All right. Danny in Eau Claire is moving to an apartment. So how do you want to give or get green gifts this year?
I was mostly concerned of how to start, I guess, a garden either in the apartment or on a porch without direct sunlight. I've been living with the garden for the last 2 years, and I'm really giving up something moving to Green Bay, and I would really like to continue growing in the apartment.
But without direct sunlight, you're right, that's going to be difficult.
Well, that's quite challenging, and you want to have a success. So unfortunately, I think if I were in your shoes, is I would maybe just have some shade flowers on your porch and then plant your vegetables in a local community garden. Sometimes there's waiting lists for community gardens, but I would look to see if your community has that. And if they don't, find a sunny spot near you and see if you can sort of rent or share some green space near you.
Meet some neighbors. And when you meet the neighbors, like if you see a spot that to you looks like, oh, this would be a great garden, again, I would recommend a very contained, small, like you'll have it in containers or you'll have it in surrounded by planks in a raised bed. And on your balcony where you don't get much sunlight, I would try growing salad greens, different lettuces, mesclun, arugula, all kinds of greens, because they seem to be the thing that doesn't need as much direct sun.
Oh, excellent. And as far as putting things in pots, would I still get the same yield out of a plant?
Absolutely, because it's all in your soil. You will get more yield because you'll be so carefully tending that pot.
so long as you water them regularly.
Yes. And you'll have really good soil in there, light, fluffy compost with... I'd add maybe some, add have a good light compost for your soil. It'll be full of nutrients.
Well, we've just got an email from Steve in Appleton who was doing some potting gardening last year, and apparently her plants outgrew the pots. Steve's fiance's, I guess she was tending them a little too well. and so he also is suggesting a raised bed, but he does say that the only sunshine is right in the middle of the yard. Is that a consideration, that aesthetic sense of, oh my gosh, you know, smack in the middle of the front yard, I've suddenly got tomatoes? Is that a problem?
It's beautiful, Lori. we're going back to using our land as I think as it should be used. We need to change our aesthetic from manicured monoculture to diversified, beautiful, and happens to be productive vegetable gardening and fruit gardening.
And if you don't have a community garden in your area, here again, gift of time, what kind of organization is involved in creating a community garden? How does one get that started?
There are lots and lots of organizations that do this, books on it, meetings. If you were to Google community gardening resources, you would find all kinds. And again, if you want to start one, I think the best way would be to visit one somewhere else, one that you've heard of that's successful, and go on a work day, talk to people, and then catch their enthusiasm, and you'll learn from them.
And Wisconsin has a long tradition in community gardens as well. Our Eagle Heights Community Garden at the University in Madison is, I believe, either the oldest or one of the two oldest community gardens in the nation, right here in our backyard.
Yes.
And something you need to watch over. I was a part of a community garden once in Milwaukee that got raised for a condominium. So keep an eye on those community gardens. Mary in Hartford, what's your idea?
Well, my husband, I had a wheelbarrow that was way too big for me. You know, it had the one wheel in front. And instead of buying a new one, my husband took that wheel off and added one. So it's got two wheels in the front. And now it is so easy to use, and I didn't have to dispose of a great big old wheelbarrow.
That's ingenious. What a man you have.
Yes,
yeah, that sounds great.
I have another one, actually, too. For composting, he took a 55-gallon plastic barrel that was disposed from a company nearby. You know, they just throw them away. And he made a composter out of it, like one of those really expensive spin things.
Wow.
And so he put some hinges on it, some vents in it. So that's right outside my door during the winter, and I just throw everything in there, give it a spin once in a while, and it works wonderfully. Use PVC pipe so it's really easy to move around.
If you could ever take a picture of that and email it to myself, I would love to inspire others with your story. My email is Sonya with a Y, S-O-N-Y-A, at madisonenvironmental.com.
And I love the idea of making things out of the recycled rubber trash bins. Because, for example, a year ago, Madison went to this different waste pickup where we have to get there's a mechanized system for picking up the trash. So everybody had to get rid of their old rubber trash bins. And there's numerous uses for those, like the composter that you mentioned, Mary. And I've made rain barrels out of them. I've made something called a trug. I wonder if other people use trugs.
Trug.
T-R-U-G. It's a container that looks like a peach basket with handles, except it's rubber and it's flexible, and so you can carry it around the garden easily. They're lightweight. And I just cut an old trash bin to form that shape instead of, you know, buying one for $13.
You make it into about 10 gallons, right? So you take the trash can and you make it much smaller.
Yes.
Okay.
So shorten it up.
Well, you got Brian in Madison and Robin in Arena on the rain barrel. Brian suggests giving a rain barrel. It may not be the ideal surprise gift. It's very functional, very appreciated, probably a little hard to wrap.
Very apropos to the time. This is a time to just be more cozy and comfortable at home and to think about our world in more of a holistic sense. So to fit all that, I think a rain barrel is a wonderful idea.
And a place where you can get a rain barrel and support a local nonprofit is through Sustain Dane. They have a rain barrel program, and you can also have it be installed. If you just pay a little bit more, they'll come and install it for you.
And all right, say you're going to try and install it yourself. Mm-hmm. One or two people, you need to do this.
Oh, you could do it with one person.
You can.
They're light. So long as it doesn't have the water in it, it's light.
Yes.
Okay. And the idea for a rain barrel is, you know, you're probably not going to be drinking this, but you're going to be using it for your garden, for other things around.
And Ustreet actually was the one that taught me that it's better for your garden. It's not just about conserving water, but it's actually improves your garden.
How so?
Really high quality water. It doesn't have the chlorine in it.
Okay.
And rain barrels, Lori, are so easy. You put them under your gutter, the downspout of your gutter, so it collects off the roof, and they fill up quickly. You can make one as simply as just a barrel with a wooden lid on top, and then the downspout, you cut a hole in the side of the barrel to accept a pipe that the downspout goes in. So, I mean, talk about simple. They're easy.
But it does need a lid.
Needs a lid because without, you'll get mosquitoes.
Okay.
But you can just, if you took an old garbage container, for example, you can just cut out a spot in the garbage lid for the downspout.
For the downspout.
So that's the simplest way.
but you can get, as you say, a little more elaborate and help out Sustain Dane as well.
Yep.
All right. Mary from West Bend is emailing in suggesting, oh, now here's an interesting idea. Give a gift of a share in a CSA. Pay the rental fee at your local community garden. Now, there's a lovely idea as a gift for someone.
That's a great idea. Community-supported agriculture, where you buy a share of the farm, the farm's produce, and so you will receive a weekly box filled with vegetables that are fresh and typically organic and locally grown. So, yes, the CSA gift would be a wonderful.
And CSAs are now offering multiple products. So, for example, some CSAs even offer Kickapoo coffee as part of their share. So it's not just limited to vegetables anymore. You can have a flour share. You can have a fruit share. And maybe someday we'll even have cheese share.
You can find a CSA at the MACSAC website, MACSAC.org.
And we have still another half hour to be talking about garden gifts, green gift ideas, as we continue on Garden Talk. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call with your questions and comments. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. We're speaking today with Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus, the Assistant Scientist in the Environmental Resources Center and the Department of Biological Systems Engineering, and Dr. Sonja Neuenhaus, the President of the Madison Environmental Group and Community CAR. 1-800-642-1234 or talk@WPR.org. I'm Laurie Skelton in for Larry Mueller on Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back to Garden Talk on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Laurie Skelton sitting in today for Larry Mueller, and we are planning for a green holiday season with green gift ideas, garden gifts, and sustainable gifts with Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus and Dr. Sonja Neuenhaus joining us. And we spent a lot of time in the garden last hour, and let's expand things a little bit. If we want to be helping others with a green existence, how do we gift green for a larger community?
Sure. So for those non-gardeners in the audience, or if you'd like to try some other products, think about some organic or fair trade products this year. So, for example, if you like syrup or making pancakes, you can buy some organic syrup at maplevalley.coop. They also have candy, they have sugar, they have cream. And then a soap that I like a lot used to be called Queen Bee Soap, but now it's called Lusa Organics because they've completely changed their recipes to have an organic product. So they not only have soaps, but they have, you know, lip balms, baby products, and that's Lusa, L-U-S-A.
Are they local?
They're located in Viroqua. So Rachel and Pete.
I think I've seen them on the
they're
Madison
on a
Farmers
Square,
Market.
Sure, yeah. Pete's right. Usually there every Saturday. And then there's also a company called Fair Indigo, which is a clothing catalog company. And what they do is it's a group of people that used to work at Land's End that formed this business because they really wanted to provide products that were either organic or fair trade. So you can, for example, buy fleece mittens for $12 that are made in Costa Rica by women that are getting a very good wage.
Okay.
And so that's just, you know, fairindigo.com.
And is that something you can, you know, if you want to look a little bit beyond Wisconsin for fair trade, that's another thing you can just Google and you're suddenly mm-hmm. overwhelmed with choices.
But it's just to remember to really look into the products you're buying and to try to, you know, dig a little deeper and make sure that there isn't greenwashing going on.
Are there any things that come up on labels that are a bit misleading? Are there
oh,
words?
Sure.
Are
like the word natural. You know, what does really natural mean? if it's an organic yeah. product, it should have the organic certification label on it. So look for those.
And that's a USDA label. Comes
yes.
from it. It says USDA.
Yeah. So also, for example, if you're buying shampoo products that have the words organic in them, be very careful and look at the back of the ingredients and see if it's certified or see how they lead it they label it on the back.
Okay.
I like to think of now, at the end of the year, as a time for us to think of what kind of world do we want and just help make that world. So local, sustainable.
Being warm and cozy in your house, you know. So even the company store, which is a big linen store, they have a product called the La Crosse Down Comforter. And that's made right here in Wisconsin, in La Crosse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can buy a down comforter so you can have your thermostat go down, save some money, and be cozy and support people in our state.
And as far as gifts, too, I like to think of gifts you can make having to do with food, so jams and jellies.
Consumables are always a very good present because you're not cluttering up your home.
In our family, we use something called a mehulisa, which is it's a huge triple boiler steamer that we use. We stick our basket of currants in there, and it out pops currant juice.
And Hank makes a delicious tomato juice with the mehulisa.
You can get a food dehydrator and dry apples for friends. I would like that, Sonia.
Yeah. And last year, I bought Cecil for his birthday. I bought an eco fan from the Real Goods catalog. So we have a wood-burning stove where we live in Viroqua. And it makes the stove 30% more efficient with this fan. And the fan is generated by the heat of the stove. So there's no plug-in. It's just an amazing renewable energy fan.
And for someone who is, we've got one more compost question. An email listener wants to know if you can compost Oasis.
Now, Oasis is that floral foam. It's a block. It looks like it's styrofoam. And when you're making flower arrangements, you put that in the bottom of the vase and then cover it with water and stick your stems in there.
Okay.
I believe you cannot, but I'm not certain about it. I believe that it's a styrofoam product. I'm just not sure. I wouldn't try it.
Okay. But right there, giving somebody something to make floral arrangements, to do their own gorgeous displays throughout the year would be
so beautiful.
Or a gift for a class where they can learn how to make something.
And we started off by talking about we are now in a time when we're starting to rethink doing things ourselves, whether mm-hmm. it's growing our own food or hanging out our own clothes on the line. And so when we get back to the idea of gift of time, I guess a lot of us need to relearn a few things, don't we?
Well, there's also a resurgence in the do-it-yourself movement. You know, there's that magazine called Ready Made that so many people like looking at. And at Madison Environmental Group, we have a line of furniture called Full Circle Furniture, and it's furniture made out of salvaged doors. But for the people that maybe want to save some money and make the furniture themselves, we have a do-it-yourself kit for one of our Madison tables. So, it does take some time, but in a weekend, you could make your loved one a beautiful table.
All right. And Sue in the Fox Valley, thank you for calling. What's your idea?
Good afternoon. Well, Wisconsin Public Service sells units of green energy that's produced by renewable sources, particularly wind, I think, in our area. And I think that energy gifts are givable. I think there are avenues for you to do that. And I think green energy can also be gifted. So
Sue,
I
that's
wouldn't
a great
mind
idea.
Getting a few of those units myself.
Yeah, I hope someone's listening for you.
That's a great idea.
And then just for decoration's sake, give someone a small windmill for the tabletop?
Or maybe some LED holiday lights?
Giving to a charity of your choice, such as Heifer International, is also a great idea. People like to give the gift of a goat or a beehive for people in developing countries to increase their profitability.
Thank you, Sue, for that idea. We've got Abe back on the line from Milwaukee. You had a question about soil, Abe. What was your question?
Actually, I have a story, too, about the three sisters.
Yes.
That I'd like to share with you. I started out saying that I grew up in New York.
Yes.
And New York City, Manhattan, actually, in a not very green place in terms of, you know, no gardens and stuff like that. When I went to college, I'm Puerto Rican also, a bunch of New York Puerto Ricans got together and we rented a plot. And having studied anthropology, I knew about the Three Sisters, so we did the Three Sisters, only I didn't know that you had to plant them in a certain order. So the corn started growing, and the beans started growing up the stalk, and then little by little, I thought it was a strange, the corn started tilting, and beans started, continued growing, and well, to make a long story short, at the end of the summer, we were the only plot that had corn that was growing parallel to the ground.
That's funny, Abe.
Yeah, so, but here, fast forward 40 years, I'm now living in Wisconsin, and I have a house with a little plot that I was thinking about planting next year.
Yes.
And how do I know, I mean, I know folks were, the previous owner, I'm sure, used pesticides and herbicides on the grass and stuff like that. And do these herbicides and pesticides, do they hurt the soil? Can I use the soil? Is the soil healthy to use? Is it contaminated? Can you decontaminate it? You know, all those questions.
In Milwaukee, whereabouts are you? Are you right downtown?
Well, actually, we live in Glendale now.
Okay, yeah. In Glendale.
Yeah. Abe, I would recommend a soil test, and you can go to your county extension office and get the information on how to take a soil test. It's very easy. It's basically you just dig with a trowel, put a little soil in a bag from different locations, and then mix that up because the sample should represent the whole area. So I would take a soil test. I would also consider compost tea because there's research now that compost made from aerated tea, which is a combination of water, compost, and then bubbling air into it, there's research that shows that the compost tea can help clean up soil from pesticides because the microorganisms in the compost are so active that they help break down what was there before. And I would recommend a guy named Jay Anderson here in Madison, Bando Organics, bandoorganics.com, to give you advice on that. He has plans for making a 5-gallon bubble bucket, he calls it, where I think you use an aquarium filter, pump, I mean, to bring the bubbles in. Mm-hmm. But you can make a little home system to make your own compost tea and then apply that to your soil. And I think that would be a really good thing to research for you.
It sounds like a great gift, as long as you don't confuse it and give that to your home beer brewer. we've got an email listener who, Kathy, says she is using a composter to grow potatoes. She has all raised beds in a small yard. So another use, we've been getting a lot of compost in this Creed show today.
Well, sometimes as the season moves forward, you might find a squash plant coming out of your compost pile. You know, it's what you've thrown in there sometimes can start producing something.
And we go next to Paul in Cascade. We're getting back to our rain barrels. What's your idea?
Well, good afternoon.
Hi.
I buy mine from a company that processes concentrated fruit juice.
Oh, yeah.
So they're always clean. There's never been chemicals in them.
Okay.
That's a good point, Paul. You want to be sure that your barrel is a food-grade plastic or else wood.
Right. And I raise goldfish in them.
Oh.
I put three in each.
You have goldfish in your rain barrels.
Oh, what a
clever.
Oh, they
eat the mosquito larva. So that means you have no lid, so the goldfish get light.
They get light. Birds get a drink. Other animals, I'm sure, get a drink.
That's fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And one more thing.
Yes.
My favorite hole, the circle hole.
Oh, people love the circle hoe.
With a long handle.
Maybe Hank should get a circle hoe.
Oh. They're really great.
Paul, thank you very much for calling. We are talking about green gifts, garden gifts, and other green gift ideas. And getting back to the idea of reducing one's footprint, you've got something on your list. It's a little bit on the expensive side, but a solar pump fountain kit, as we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, my neighbor tried this. People who have backyard ponds, small ponds, or sometimes bird feeders, you can now get a pump to aerate that water that is solar powered. And I thought it was a great idea, because before you'd have to use energy, use electricity, and have a wire connected to an outlet somewhere. But mm-hmm. this way, the thing just floats around in your pond. And it provides a little, it's like a tiny little fountain so that the water is aerated.
We should probably be thinking more about what can be solar powered as we're working in our gardens. Is this an industry that you see probably growing in the next couple of years?
It is, and in fact, there's a Cardinal Glass started a new manufacturing plant near Mazamani to produce glass for solar panels. So Wisconsin even has, you know, we should be proud that we have some manufacturers right in our backyard. And Focus on Energy, for example, has some very good solar promotion programs. There's incentives with certain utility companies that they'll actually buy back your power at a higher cost than you know what you're paying for it now. So it's really something we should consider. And I think people also have a misperception that Wisconsin doesn't have enough sun, but we do have enough sun for solar. And for example, Germany is vastly into solar. In fact, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, Cardinal Glass's new product is already sold to Europe, to Germany. So at the moment, we can't even buy our own backyard solar panels because it's so popular elsewhere.
All right. We'll keep that in mind for future use. Ron in Madison is joining us. What's your idea?
Oh, I've got new ones since I first called. But years ago, I gardened at a friend's place, and he had about a 3-gallon plastic bag as a solar shower. Now, he bought it as a kit, and it already had the little nozzle on the end, and you simply hung it in the sun for several hours while you were working in the garden, and when you got done, you could wash all the garden mud off.
Oh, yeah. Clever.
You mentioned the Cardinal Glass and solar collectors and stuff. It reminded me of something else I've been preaching about the last week or two, is that the big three automakers are on the brink of bankruptcy, and they must switch what they're selling, because people aren't buying SUVs. They need to be producing solar hot water heaters for home use, or even for larger industrial scale things, and wind generators to make electricity. And those should be utility scale, not home scale, because the inefficiencies of the home scale ones are terrible. The main things I wanted to point out is I have reddish popsicles I got to do something with. And when you mentioned square foot gardening, it reminded me of my idea of cubic garden, meaning you can't just talk about a surface area. You have to consider the soil 1 or 2 or more feet deep, because it's an essential part of the garden.
Yes.
And that connects to the rototiller discussion later. Rototillers destroy the soil structure. If you rototill your garden for a few years and let the rain pound on it, you're going to have a puddled mess. It's much better to turn it over with a garden fork or a spade, or even with a mow board plow if you have enough space to use a tractor.
That's why I like the raised
bed.
That's much
safer for the soil structure. In a previous millennium, I was a soil scientist, so I still preach about that sometimes.
Okay.
Frozen popsicles. This morning, the TV said it was 14 degrees, and on the way to work, I visited some radishes, and they were frozen solid. I didn't try to dig in to see how deep the soil's frozen, but if I can get those dug up in the next week or so, is it safe to eat frozen radishes? As long as you don't let them thaw out until the hour that you're going to eat them, is it safe to eat frozen vegetables like that? Assuming I can get them under cold water and scrub off all the soil well enough to eat them.
Ron, the issue is to get that soil off of the surface, because the soil is what will carry bacteria into what you're eating. So I am I can't say yes, it's safe to eat, but try your best to get the soil off the surface.
All right. Thanks for calling. Jackie in Northwest Illinois, what is your idea? Hi.
My suggestion is most people don't realize that as like a heifer project, you can buy a cow, a pig or whatever, you know. You can also, in the United States here, Organic Valley Family of Farms, you can purchase a cow for a young farmer who's doing a startup farm.
What a great idea,
that's
Jackie.
Wonderful.
Yeah, well, I found that out by looking at their carton. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to help everybody. I should help people in my own country.
Yes, absolutely.
So by contacting the Organic Valley Family of Farms, they'll be able to give you some information. I happen to throw that one away, so I don't have the specifics on it, but if you're into organic milk, you can help our young people start farms, and one of the big, obviously, the big holdbacks is being able to get the animals to start with, especially milking ones.
I guess I hadn't thought about that. That is a big startup project. If somebody is coming to a farm completely, pardon the pun, green, you've got some pretty hefty startup costs here.
What a great idea. Go to Organic Valley and buy a cow for a new farmer.
Well, I don't know whose list that's going to be on. If that shows up on somebody's list, we want to hear about it. Thank you very much for calling. Susan in Greendale is next. Hi there.
Hi. I have one suggestion and then a question. My suggestion is going to newamericandream.org and downloading their How to Simplify the Holidays brochure. And it talks about many different options for gifts. For instance, maybe donating to your child, taking over the dishes for a week, or taking out the garbage for a month, or whatever. That's my idea. And then my question is, I'm really interested in purchasing for a friend a solar bird bath heater.
Solar-powered bird bath heater.
Exactly.
Okay.
I have to say that a neighbor of mine tried that and discovered that it was better suited for a pond because the bird bath was not deep enough to let the thing float. So if you want to look at them, they were in the Gardener's Supply Company, gardeners.com. But I wouldn't use it for a bird bath. I'd use it for a small pond.
Okay. At this point, you just have to keep going out and refilling the bird bath. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wisconsin's just too cold.
Susan, thank you very, very much. Although we've got one last bird feeder idea. Mary in Toma. Hi there.
Hello. Just to go back a few callers back to the gentleman that is moving to a condominium and doing container gardening.
Yes.
My bad habit is overwatering. So then I heard an idea on your station a couple weeks ago that said raise your containers up on some pebbles. So if you overwater, it drains out.
Good idea.
And that way you prevent root rot. And the other thing is I've been making these bird feeders for years out of 5-gallon bucket lids and soda bottles. I use trays that I order online. They're plastic. You put them on the end of the soda bottle, and then you drill a hole in the top of the soda bottle through that lid that you got free with your laundry soap or whatever. And that acts like a roof. And it's very squirrel-proof.
Oh.
The squirrel gets on there, and he slides off, and it's just hilarious.
I will give that a shot when I get home. Mary, thank you very much for that call today. And thanks to everyone who has called. I think we could go on for another couple of hours with green ideas for gifts for the garden with Dr. Astrid Neuenhaus, the assistant scientist in the Environmental Resources Center and the Department of Biological Systems Engineering, Dr. Sonia Neuenhaus, president of the Madison Environmental Group and Community Car. Thank you both so much for getting this discussion started.
Thank you, Lori.
Our producer today is Jim Packer, our board op, Brittany DeAnda, and our on-air producer, Dave Potraz. I'm Lori Skelton, sitting in today for Larry Mueller on Garden Talk. on the Wisconsin Public Radio.